Hi, everybody. Go to the bottom of my homepage. You're going to see an ad for Z-Stack, Dr. Zelenko's new vitamin supplement that combines zinc, quercetin, vitamin C, and vitamin D. All of those things that we talk about on the show, he has combined them into one supplement. Dr. Zelenko is a board-certified physician in New York. He was the one that gave ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine to Trump and told him about that, and he was really the guy that started the frontline doctors. Dr. Zelenko formulated the Support Your Immune Function supplement. Zinc, quercetin, vitamin C, and vitamin D. Take this every day. This is a great combination of a supplement that you can take of all the things we talk about on the show. This is an amazing product to keep you well and make sure that you go get this. This is also manufactured in the USA. Head and order this. Go to the bottom of my homepage at katedalyradio.com.
Balance of Nature, changing the world one life at a time.
I was feeling really tired, really slow, no energy, nothing. Started taking it, and it was like, wow, something happened. I've been telling everybody I know about it. We're happy with the product, even my wife. At first didn't say anything. Now she's saying, oh, my gosh, I miss it. I go, how come? She goes, I'm tired. She goes, and plus my nails and hair were growing.
Well, I got more energy, I can tell you that, because I'm always active, whether I'm playing golf or working on the yard or pruning my palm trees. I still got them at 84, so I've got a lot of energy. That's what I like about the product. And like I said, I have no complaints.
Start your journey to better health with Balance of Nature right now. Call 1-800-246-8751 or go to balanceofnature.com to get free shipping. And don't forget to get 35% off your first order as a preferred customer by using discount code Kate.
We tried to be a normal talk show once. Worst 2 minutes of our lives. The Kate Daly Show starts now.
I'm to the place right now. If you vote Democrat, I don't even want you around this church. You can get out. You can get out, you demon. You can get out, you baby butchering election thief. You cannot be a Christian and vote Democrat in this nation. I don't care how mad that makes you. You get pissed off as you want to. You cannot be a Christian and vote Democrat in this nation. They are God-denying demons that butcher babies and hate this nation. They hate this nation. Get mad all you want to. I don't care if you stand. I don't care if you throw tomatoes, praise God. I'm about to throw a microphone up in his house. CNN can eat my dirty socks. You cannot be a Democrat and a Christian. You cannot. Somebody say amen. Yeah. The rest of you, get out. Yeah. Get out. Yeah. Get out in the name of Jesus. Yeah. I ain't playing your stupid games. Bunch of devils. Right. I'm sick of it. Right.
Can I get an amen? Holy cow. Wow. Oh, some pastor. Woo. Man, kind of makes me want to go there and see that in person. Holy smokes. Yeah. He says a lot of what people think. I mean, it's hard to think that somebody out there could betray their own principles and justify that somehow as a Christian. But, you know, whatever. I'm not here to judge. And it really, it's not about the parties really as much as we think it is. It's really, it's just, where do you align? Where are your morals, your values, your character? Right. You can't possibly want to see a baby torn apart in a womb. I don't know how you could love God and want to do that, because if you truly love God, I don't know how you would do it. But, you know, that's that crazy Kate talking. What can I say?
Yeah. Crazy. Yeah, Kate.
Crazy Kate. So you're invited to call up. I know that you might want to chime in on this, and I would actually like to hear from you on this. Do I want to relive gun control conversations again? About as much as I want to relive abortion conversations again, just because we've been down these roads, but they keep wearing people down, and that's the problem. So, of course, you can call up. We'll take your call, but... and you might have something to say about this, and maybe you're ticked off that we have brought up so many questions. And if that's the case, it's okay. It's all right. Call up. It's fine. We're used to hearing it. I'm used to hearing it by now. Trust me. We've had so many events. You guys realize that when we had guns and we brought them to school and stuff, when we were younger, a lot of people in rural towns had them in their cars and everything. You didn't have gunmen just go in and mow people down. That wasn't a thing. Now they've made it into a thing, but there's also a thing called a false flag too. So I'm just going to offer that up as interesting that all of a sudden the last 20 years we've had a multitude of kids now gunning people down in schools. And what everybody says is shore the school up, more security, more government. That's, you guys, that's not what this is about. A false flag just means they're really trying. It's like they want to go Rahm Emanuel on everybody, right? They want to pull a Rahm Emanuel. And a Rahm Emanuel means you take an opportunistic moment of something and you politicize it and turn it into something else that you really want, the agenda you really want. It's like Eric Holder in 1995 telling us that he was going to make sure the kids were brainwashed on gun control. He was going to make sure that they thought the gun was the enemy. And he said, and you can't just do it once in a while, you have to do it every day. And that's what our press is doing to us right now and our government. So
this is probably nothing, okay, but no one has published this suspect's father's name.
Mm-hmm.
And in 2018, there was an article written by about a two teens were arrested in Uvalde for targeting a Uvalde middle school in a mass casualty event.
Mm-hmm.
The author of the article's name was Henry Ramos.
Hmm.
And the father's name has not been released in anywhere.
That's kind of weird.
It is weird. That probably means nothing.
Well, and they say it means nothing that the guy whose wife died.
The teacher.
He died the day after. Heart attack.
Of a heart attack. Broken heart.
That's what they called it.
Yep, a broken heart.
My first initial instinct is not that.
No, mine either.
Mine is that...
he knew something.
The school was part of a drill, and nobody was supposed to go down. Right? Possibly. Possible scenario. And when they think you might say something about that, or you're not going along with it, that's just very odd to have somebody die the next day. That's not a normal thing to have happen. You don't die of a broken heart the next day. That's just bizarre. So I don't believe that that's what went down. Hi, caller. Welcome to the show. Go right ahead.
Hey, Kate. I'm just wondering where this kid got all his money
yep.
to buy these rifles.
$5,000?
My AR-15 cost me $1,500.
I know.
He bought two of them.
$5,000 worth with body armor and bags of ammo. What, 900 rounds?
Hmm.
Bags of it that he left behind. Because, you know, that's what people do. It's kind of like the Subway guy who brought in the knives, the guns, the extra ammo, like he was going to be there for 3 hours, right? And then that's how they go, wow, he was really going to do so much more. It just always adds to the story. And no one ever explains how they got all that, why they had all of it. It's bizarre. And I thought the same thing at 18 years old.
We need to send you to Texas to investigate this.
Man, I would in a heartbeat because nobody's bringing up the timeline that's obvious. The timeline's out there because they put the tweets out there, the school district, Robb Elementary, and the cops in Uvalde. None of it made sense. So,
yeah.
Thank you. Really appreciate you. Thank you. And it's bizarre, too, because I'm not that much of a sleuth. I'm no smarter than anyone else. How can I find all of those in a matter of a half hour? And a media person can't. See, that's how you know the media is bought. They're not going to ask those questions.
You know, it's just the weird little things you see as you read more and more about
this. A lot more is coming out, right?
Now, this is in South Texas, 54 miles from the Mexican border.
Mm-hmm.
The town is vastly mm-hmm. Hispanic.
Mm-hmm.
But you know where Salvador Ramos was born?
Where?
North Dakota.
Interesting.
Yeah. How?
I think he's the patsy. And I think that, and this is how I explained it on Dr. Sherry Tenpenny's show. when you let's just go in the corner of, let's say I'm right about this, and it was an event that was posed as a drill. This is why the elementary school said that there was something going on in the area, but we're fine here, which was supposed to be in the middle of the shooting. Okay, so they said they were fine. I think they were in a drill, and what happens is it's like COVID-19. Everybody gets compartmentalized. How do you pull off everybody in the world thinking there's a pandemic, but you're not building any more cemeteries, you're not creating all of these things for extra deaths like they said you were, okay? How do they get away with that? Did they hypnotize everybody? No. You compartmentalize everybody to always think that it's going on someplace else.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody in every single city around the world thought that all the deaths that they were talking about were definitely going on in somebody else's city.
Yeah.
Okay. Same thing with this. If the cops get called, but Border Patrol is there, ICE is there, ICE commands the show. They're having the shootout with the guy. They tell the cops what's going on. They believe the feds. Okay. Compartmentalize everybody. If everybody at the school is like, well, this happened over here and this happened over here, but I didn't see anything, I'm probably going to believe that that happened over there and that happened over there because I'm compartmentalized into my little section of it. Did I see anything? Not really. But I have to go along because everybody else is going along. Mm-hmm. I mean, everybody else is believing this and going along with it. So, of course, there you go.
Yeah. And now, I don't want to look stupid.
Well, I don't want to look dumb. And then if you're in the middle of a drill, see, you think this is all part of the drill. But then does it go too far and it ends up in the media and the whole world is sending love and notes and kisses and money and grief and everything else? Now it's too late to say anything. Is this why the husband ends up dead? One has to ask. But they're brilliant at compartmentalization. Because they can keep everybody in their little world not really investigating what's going on around them. It's easier than people think it is.
Oh, it's extremely easy. Think about this. When Black Lives Matter first started and started getting these large donations, if you had said in the future you're going to find out that they're spending your money on other things that have nothing to do with Black, you would have been chastised for saying that.
Yeah.
But what turned out to be true?
No, that you're right about that. So it's easy to say this person is in this. So the cop over here believes what ICE tells him. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe one officer is compromised in ICE. The rest are believing that officer. See how compartmentalization works? Then you have a whole slew of people, right? And you're going to bring them to a civic center and they're going to believe what you have to say because these are people in the community. But everybody's hinged on everyone else believing or everyone else thinking something without ever really investigating. And that's the American public, too. We're not investigating. We're shamed into not asking.
And they kept the children away from the parents for hours and hours and hours and hours.
Mm-hmm.
Once the shooter was dead, why aren't the children safe to go with their parents at that point?
Yeah. I mean, I actually saw them pick them up quicker than I have before. But when they put out the notice at noon, supposedly in the middle of all this, and they said all the kids somehow, some way got on mysterious buses that didn't exist and went over to the Civic Center, they didn't mention anything was going on. They didn't mention that anyone was hurt. They didn't mention anything. All they said was, and it almost made it sound like they were spending the day there. It was like, hey, pick up your kid over here. You know, time to pick up your kid. And there was a board outside with all the teachers' names and water bottles. And I mean, I was like, wow. And apparently, even the teacher that had died, they said, their name was on the board, too.
Hmm.
I thought, well, that's kind of strange. As if they were there. Look at the board. I'm going to post these pictures on the Kate Daly Show notes tonight. I'm having a hard time getting on there from studio, but I'll do it tonight. And I'm telling you, it's eerie and very strange because if you went along with the scenario I just laid out, it would be really easy to see how that unfolded. And it would make sense for the tweets and the messages that were sent out if they thought they were participating in a drill, being a good little school and maybe getting some COVID money for it, you know? Lots of COVID money. And the hospital was in trouble financially. And the school's enrollment was down, and they were having to be the recipient of a lot of CARES money.
Talk lines are open now. Call 888-673-1450. This is the Kate Daly Show.
Red roses too, I see them bloom for me, you. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world.
I see skies of blue and clouds of white, bright blessed day, the dark sacred night, and I think to myself, what a wonderful world.
Welcome back, Kate Daly Show. Of course, we'll take your calls. 888-673-1450. And you can call in from anywhere. I wanted to mention my Patriot Supply, they're doing another sale of $150 off. Take advantage of that. It's 3 months supply. You definitely need to have that. Today's news that we were reading about, that we were going to talk about on the show today a little bit, was that we have a 10-week supply of wheat in this world right
mm-hmm.
now, and that it's looking kind of grim. So make sure you have some food storage, please. Make sure you have a lot of it. And you can go to My Patriot Supply. They have the best prices by going to preparewithkate.com. If you go through that link, you can get the $150 off and some other specials, too. They have breakfast buckets. They have for like $120, and you can get a deal off of that, too. And there's all kinds of different arrays of product that they have. Really great stuff. Just make sure that you're taking care of your family. Also, go to mypillow.com and take advantage of the $90 off the slippers, because you're going to get them for hardly anything. And they are definitely worth it. The slippers are amazing. They're a little on the smaller side, too. If you're kind of hedging between sizes, get the bigger size. They have moccasin and black and brown, and then black and then brown ones, and they also have slip-ons, and so there's a lot of them. And make sure that kinds of them, whatever floats your boat, $90 off, but you have to go to mypillow.com/Kate in order to get that deal. You can't just put in the code word Kate and get it. You have to go to mypillow.com/Kate. Get them for Father's Day. Pick some up for Christmas right now. I think supply chains are going to be pretty rough at Christmas time. Just make sure that you're kind of planning ahead a little bit, okay? But that's not going to last very much longer, because they're doing a huge blowout and people are buying them up, to tell you the truth. Go to Dr. Zelenko's Z-Stack. Get a Z-Stack and Detox. Great products. Fantastic. Okay. but that link's on the bottom of my homepage. We'll take your calls. 888-673-1450. What do you think about all of this? I know we've said some pretty strong things, but you're not going to hear what we're saying on any other show. And so what? You need to hear it. that's my take.
Yeah.
You need to hear what we're saying. And we're not just going to be there to give empathy. You know what I hope for my future? I hope no one I love is in a false flag. I hope nobody I love is involved in a government false flag.
Please.
Yeah. The whole gunman thing, this is not something that occurs every day. So to take everybody's guns makes no sense, and that's ridiculous, and it's symbolic of what the leftist progressive is all about. It's all emotion, no thinking, like a Beto O'Rourke, right? It's all a manipulation and emotion, not a single ounce of logic in that dude. But that's what the leftist progressive sort of stands for in this country. They're only manipulated by emotion. And so without any thinking skills, very, very difficult to assess a situation like this. They're embroiled in bullying and in this the context of what they think happened via CNN. So with that being said, I just hope we can... think as a nation? Is that hard to ask?
Please.
I really do. But it's tough because it's very unpopular to say these things, too. And I know that. It's okay.
There really is no reason that you can't feel the emotion and still look for the logic and facts.
I don't know what to feel emotion for, to tell you the truth, because nothing's panning out. And I'm a little like, what actually happened? I would like to just, I don't want to be manipulated and used for my emotions. I want to know exactly what happened and then feel the emotions, I guess. Maybe I'm different.
Well, but any person who's told that 19 children that age were shot and killed is going to feel some emotion, they want to or not.
Oh, of course.
So you have to deal with that and at the same time understand that you may be being manipulated.
Yeah. As long as we can kind of be aware that nothing about it made sense and that that could be a possibility. I just hate to see people get used for their emotions, you know?
And give up the reality.
Yeah. Hi, caller. Welcome to the show. Go right ahead.
Oh, great, great program as usual.
Thank you.
I like to mix a little history with personal experience. Battleship Maine blew up in Havana Harbor under mysterious circumstances, but we declared war, and Teddy Roosevelt made a big deal of it at San Juan, and we also picked up the Philippines. And, and then we had Pearl Harbor. Well, if you read anything about Nimitz, Japanese botched it so badly. I personally can never understand how we had Midway and Coral Sea within 6 months when the president was sending everything over to Europe. Hey, I studied this for 20 years, and then I found out the reason. I'm Army. I'm not Navy.
Right.
I had to visit Navy people. I had to visit with my Navy friends. And we actually had three fleets, two aircraft carrier fleets and one battleship fleet. We sacrificed the battleship fleet at Pearl Harbor. We broke the Japanese code 6 months ahead of time. We knew what they were doing. But we kept our aircraft carrier fleets, and then we won Coral Sea and Midway. Now, I'm in Montgomery, Alabama, in 1965, when the Selma March ended. So I walked out to the bypass, because they're at the bypass, that's where they're camping, and I looked around and came back, and that night when I saw the news, it was nothing I saw during the day.
Yeah, I've had that happen.
I have not trusted media, audiovisual media since.
Yeah. Good move.
Really.
I was down in Vegas for the Vegas shooting, and that's how I felt when I got back. Nothing I heard on the police transmitter, nothing I heard was actually translated into anything the next day on the news. And by the way, we have like 18 minutes of missing tape, and none of the police scanners are available for anybody to listen to off of this event.
Even with Freedom of Information Act?
Not so far. So usually that takes quite a while after everybody's forgotten about the situation. You know what I mean? So, man, I really appreciate you. Thank you.
In 68, I was split. Am I gone?
Wait, in 68, you what? We have to finish up.
Yeah. Yeah, 1968, I was in Germany, and I got transferred to Vietnam. I stopped off in New Orleans, just made up with my family, and I looked at the newspaper. On the front page of the newspaper was a fire base camp. It was laid out in detail. Barracks, POL, petroleum oil and lubricant, AHA, the ammunition holding point, the hospital, the Kamo Tower, the airstrip, everything was laid out, and the mortar rounds were laid out exactly where they missed.
Interesting.
Well, I spent some time as indirect fire. You look at that, you make a few adjustments on your TME, your traversing and elevating mechanism, put it through different kinds of round pad packets of explosives in there, and guess what? The next time you shoot, you are right on every target.
Thank you for that. Thanks for the call. Interesting. Well, I certainly... I don't trust the media at all. Can you point to anything they've said that was true or meaningful? to not our lightly. Lives. So I'm not quite sure how people can give them some blind allegiance. And they think, you know what they think? They think because it involves children, they're not going to lie. Because us as normal good people wouldn't do that, right? I mean, honestly. But when you have a job at stake and you know what your parameters are and you can't go do any investigation work because it's not allowed in the report, it's not, you're not allowed to say it, you have to stay on script, and we know they have scripts, then what do you expect? Do you really expect them to do real journalism? That ended a long, long time ago.
Yep. It yep. did.
All right. Let's take a call. Hi, caller. Welcome to the show. Go right ahead.
Hi.
Hi.
So I'm having a hard time understanding when these things happen. Like, what's true? What's real?
Me
what's
too.
Right? Because, yeah, it doesn't make sense to me. A lot of these things don't make sense. All these pieces don't fit.
I know.
And so I'm wondering if you guys have any input. Like, how do you, if there's really kids that have died, then, and that's sad. And
yeah, horrific.
You know, that's horrible.
Mm-hmm.
But then people would talk about it. People would talk about their families, and people would talk about, you know, mm-hmm. all of these things. And if it's not true, then they would say, wait, these kids don't go to this school, or these
right,
families are
right.
not here.
Mm-hmm.
About the shooter, you know, wouldn't
yep.
people talk about that? Like Uncle Nolte said, his mm-hmm. his father, like, or well, wouldn't anyone talk about these things?
Yes. Let me
so
answer that.
Way, whether
let me answer yeah, that off the
whether
air.
Whether it's true or not, like,
okay.
wouldn't there be people that would be talking about
yes.
these things or not? Because if you can shut people up with money or bribing mm-hmm. them or anything else, you can also get them to talk for money. So, But I don't hear
sure.
any of these things, and I don't know what is true and what's not true.
Okay, thank you for that. I really appreciate that. This is interesting. After the Las Vegas thing, there were some people that mysteriously died that were eyewitnesses
mm-hmm.
that saw people on the ground shooting. It wasn't coming from one hotel room at the wherever
at
it was,
the hotel,
Mandalay Bay.
The Mandalay.
And so I followed one of the crisis actors. She, actresses, she got 5 gunshots and lived to tell about it, left the hospital, you know, just in a couple of weeks. And I actually went, kind of stalked the rest of her family just to kind of see what they were saying about it. Not much. They were hardly saying a word about it.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, they weren't even concerned about her. She was an actress, went back to California after the event, lived far away. And I've seen that before. It's not the first time. But the family, when she was in the hospital, weren't really concerned, weren't really posting much about it at all. So with that being said, there are GoFundMe accounts and things like that, and that has served up as payment for people. And they do stay a little bit more quiet, right? Maybe people are threatened. Could happen. Okay. So there's lots of ways to make people, and like I said before, the compartmentalizing as well. Now, with that being said, people do die in false flags. Look at 9/11.
Oh, yeah.
Okay? You have real victims. And so just keep that in mind, too. That's what's so hard to know about this whole thing.
Just remember the famous saying from 1941. We have ways
yeah.
to make you.
Yeah.
Do whatever we dang well want.
Yeah. So, you know, can anybody be given citizenship in order to go along? You never know. That's what I'm saying. I'm throwing a lot of things out there. No real proof. I realize that. But I want us to kind of think about some of the things that have gone on in the past. And I think it's relevant here.
If I witnessed this, I would be all over the media to tell my story.
Mm-hmm.
Talk lines are open now. Call 888-673-1450. This is the Kate Daly Show.
I'll be seeing you in all the old familiar places that this heart and mind embraces all day through.
All right. Make sure and go to the website. And of course, our sponsors are amazing. Pick up a hyperbaric machine at insideouthyperbarics.com. And what's great about that is that you go to that website and they can ship from anywhere, and you can have a hyperbarics machine right inside your home. And you can share that with friends and family, and it means good health. I mean, good health for you. Not only is it anti-aging, you're going to help solve a lot of problems of autoimmune and anyone going through cancer, neuropathy. I mean, all kinds of things. Everything, COPD, I mean, you name it. It's like all these different ailments can be treated by hyperbaric and done in such a natural way. And hyperbaric's been around for 60, 80 years. I mean, it is an amazing process and easy to do because you're just basically, you can take a nap in there. It's amazing. In fact, my husband said when he tried it, he goes, wow. He goes, I walked out and I had spring in my step because I never have a spring in my step. So make sure you get to Inside Out Hyperbarics and order up, and they even have financing and they'll ship these machines to you quickly and try it out. You'll love it. InsideOutHyperbarics.com. Our guest is, we have a guest, and this book, I want to talk a little bit about this. With Memorial Day right around the corner, we'll be out on Monday, and the anniversary of D-Day in Normandy, June 6 approaching, we actually have Mark Hager, author of The Last Day of the 357th Infantry, Harold Frank's World War II Story of Faith and Courage. Welcome to the show, Mark.
Oh, welcome, and thank you for having me.
Oh, absolutely. Tell us about this story. I love to hear these stories of this generation doing what they did, and just in the way that they did it. I'm actually excited to hear about this story. Please do tell.
Well, it was by complete coincidence, or some people don't believe in coincidences, mm-hmm. but... you know, I spent years in the military. I was in the U.S. Army in the field artillery as a surveyor, and spent time in Europe during the Cold War in Germany, and then came back home, went back to school, et cetera, and got involved with public history and graduate studies, and that led me to doing preservation work among teaching at Lenoir Rhine University, and then becoming the board president of where I am now, the Forks of the Yakin and Davie County History Museum. So a farmer bought this huge tract of land, mm-hmm. and he had a very historic home on it and wanted some advice about what to do with it, contacted me, and I went out and sure enough, I mean, helped him, you know, a lot with different ideas. And then he invited me afterwards mm-hmm. to a farmer's luncheon in rural Davie County, mm-hmm. in which, as my wife said, I got there late as usual, mm-hmm. and I walked in. Some of the people that I knew, you know, they were already seated, and you know, there wasn't any really available spaces there. So then I always gravitate towards looking for veterans.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
I saw this one older gentleman sitting at a table wearing a POW cap. Hmm. And so I said, that's where I'm going. So right. I walked over and sat down next to him, and I looked at him, and I could swear maybe 80 at the most. So I'm thinking, could it be Korean War?
Right.
Or what? Which one is this? And we started, and you know, after a while, after eating and introducing myself, and I asked what unit he was with, and he said the 357th Infantry. And I just kind of stopped because from my time in Europe and studying some World War II history and going to some of the battlefields there in the late 80s, mm-hmm. before the wall came down, I said, wait a minute. I said, sir, that means the 357th that I know was with the 90th Infantry Division, the Tough Hombres. Mm-hmm. And he said, yes, you know about us. And
wow.
I said, well, I know the 357th was wiped out like three different times during the Normandy campaign. And it kind of got emotional. He said, we lost a lot of really good men. And so I was in a little panic, and I went, wait a minute. I've got a pen. I've got mm-hmm. some napkins. uh-huh. I got to start. How do I not know this guy? And especially since I'm the historian for that kind of area. Mm-hmm. And I started writing down. We started talking. By that time, everyone's left and gone back to work, and we're still talking. And finally, the guy that bought the farm says, you know, I can take you to his house.
Hmm.
And he agreed that he'd like to meet with me. What it turned out, his wife of 68 years had passed away 3 months earlier.
Oh.
And she had tried to prod him to talking about his story, but mm-hmm. he didn't want to talk about it. He didn't want her to know exactly what all he had gone through. So he would only give little bits and pieces at, you know, from time to time. But then after a while, he decided, he said that I think it's time. And so I was the one there to say, well, let's go. So, mm-hmm. and started with a story. And, you know, it's kind of a warning, though. You really need veterans on this, because what you're doing is taken 75 years that he's repressed and he didn't want to think about.
Mm-hmm.
And now you're making him recall it again.
Right.
and putting it all back together as clear as possible, which can trigger lots of problems.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why it took me, I was patient and spent, days, weeks, back and forth and to put his story together.
Right.
And
so what happened in his story? I'm so curious to hear.
Well, for one thing, the 357th, it came in on Utah Beach. Part of it came in on D-Day itself, but not to go into combat. Their job, talking about dangerous, is that the 4th Infantry Division arrived first.
Mm-hmm.
And they were to immediately secure Utah Beach,
right.
Turn towards the only real port in that peninsula, towards Cherbourg. So that meant all eyes would be on for the Germans to hold that important port city.
Right.
So the 90th was then sent right behind them, and they were mm-hmm. to cut straight across the peninsula and block any attempts by the Germans to reinforce Cherbourg, and then also block any attempt by the Germans getting out of Cherbourg and escaping across the peninsula.
Right.
So they were initially going to be attacked from two different sides.
Hmm.
And that was the 90th mission.
Right.
And so it took from July the 6th to, June the 6th till June the 10th for the 90th to build up its entire division.
Mm-hmm.
For action. And when that happened, that's when Harold Frank, that's when he arrives.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And so a lot of confusion that happened with Harold to put a story together is that he wasn't really with the 90th Division. He was with the 69th Division, the 271st Infantry in Camp Shelby, Mississippi.
Hmm.
He was introduced to a weapon called the BAR, which mm-hmm. is a Browning automatic rifle, but those of us in the military knew it as the badass rifle.
BAR. Oh, interesting. Okay, Uncle Milty.
Automatic,
Uncle Milty has a question for you.
Squad.
Uncle Milty has a question for you. Go ahead.
How long was Harold Frank there before he was captured?
Oh, he was in combat for 30 days.
Wow.
But the story about Harold, mm-hmm. trying to understand how he could survive mm-hmm. with what you're going to be reading about in the book,
right?
I said, Harold, stop. We got to start all over. We've got to back up. Tell me about your childhood.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the middle of the Great Depression. There is an event that happened, which I won't tell you. You have to read the book. Starts mm-hmm. when he's 5 years old.
Okay.
And there I started to see the ingredients that made him a man by he was 12 and 14.
Mm.
So that, when people talk
sure.
about being destitute and poverty stricken, when
right.
you're sleeping in quilts made out of burlap
right.
sacks in
yeah.
rural Davidson County.
Sure.
That's Harold as a child with horse teams that he had to put together for farming and no hardware stores.
Right.
None of that. You had to make
yeah.
everything on your own. You had to be resourceful.
That's putting hair on your chest, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Getting your firearm to try to get food for the family before you could ever shoot it to hunt. You had to show your dad and real closely his uncle how to take it apart, put it
mm-hmm.
together, know how it operates, know the force that's coming out of it. He had to do all of that before he was 10.
Right.
So now you fast forward,
mm-hmm.
and you can see the things that he learned. You can hear. And so I decided for the book, let's stop. I'm going to put people in his shoes. So I'm going to start with Harold when he's 5,
mm-hmm.
and we're going to follow him
nice.
All the way through the war and when he gets out and how he recovers from that. And that's the different angle I had with historiography with this book versus, say, other military books.
Sure, sure. I like that. I mean, at least you get to know who you're talking about in this battle and maybe why he does the things he does. I think that's really
mm-hmm.
neat. And so this book, The Last of the 357th Infantry, Harold Frank's World War II Story of Faith and Courage, he was the last surviving member of this?
We know that there are other men in the three. There's three main regiments: the 357th, 358th, and 359th, and 2nd Battalion of
mm-hmm.
the 90th Division. And there are people that came in like towards the end of the war. I don't know of one directly in the 357th, but
right.
When you look at 16 million men that went into it, there may be some. I was, you know, I filmed the 75th anniversary of D-Day ceremony in Normandy.
Right.
It was with Harold and 17 other Normandy campaign veterans. And I noticed looking at them that some of the ones they brought in, I'm not sure they knew where they were
right.
at that stage. So if there are some out there, and there may be.
Yeah, sure.
They may be, and who knows?
I know we only have a few minutes left, but you said he had an encounter with President Eisenhower.
Oh, yes.
Uh-huh.
When he was liberated by Patton's Third Army from Dresden. So he survived a 1,000-plane firebombing of Dresden as a POW.
Wow.
And as their forced evacuation, no rest, no sleep, 4 days. I mean, you can read about that all in the book. But when he finally gets back, he had lost 92 pounds as a POW, and he's in Camp Lucky Strikes. He was fortunate to be in the group. When they arrived in the camp was when I, you know, came to the camp to meet the POWs and came to his tent. It's just luck of the straw.
Yeah. Yeah.
And got to meet him and ate chow with him. And then it was Ike that got him and some other of the boys that he was around together to get them to a telephone so they could call home for the first time and let them know that they were alive and had been recaptured.
Wow. Well, check out the book, everybody. The book is The Last of the 357th Infantry by Mark Hager, and a great tale for Memorial Day. We need to be remembering those who died and did not come home, and for all of the sacrifices that all of these families made, for all of the soldiers that made them. Really appreciate you coming on, Mark. Thank you for this.
Well, thank you.
You bet. It was a pleasure meeting you. And Mark Hager, and that is The Last of the 357th Infantry, Harold Frank's World War II Story of Faith and Courage. And check out the book. You know, I love to read, and I love to read about history. And I asked Mark to come on talk about this with Memorial Day right around the corner. Sometimes we kind of lose sight, and we think of it a barbecue day.
Yeah.
And it's not a barbecue day. It's a day
it's
to remember.
It's a Memorial Day.
It's a Memorial Day for a reason, and I'm so appreciative of those that delve into history and write these books, for sure. Tell the stories. I mean, Don Fotheringham, we need to have him back on. He's one of the last World War II veterans. He actually snuck in at the age of 16 and lied about his age. He is amazing, and he was in battle. He was, I mean, I just love to hear him talk about it. He gets visibly just in tears over it, and I can't imagine going through what they went through.
And sadly, it's proving out that they really were the greatest generation.
I know. Yeah.
Because we certainly aren't the same today.
No, we're not. And I have to do shows about false flags and get people to recognize the evil in our own government.
Yeah.
You know, government's so bad that the scriptures are detailed accounts of government going up against the people. Who called for the execution of male babies to the age of 2 in Bethlehem? The government. We have clear tales in the scriptures. If you're a scripture reader, you should never even question who the bad guy is and who the bad guy's controlled by, because they're the only people taking life and liberty and your pursuit of happiness. And so to believe them and give them a blank check in the media, we just, please wake up. And to the girl that asked about, you know, why don't more come forward? I remember in a certain school shooting with the initials SH, all the families that went in, all the kids involved were people not from the area. They weren't from there. And the parents moved out. They moved in 2 years prior. Houses were all bought on the same day by the same group who stayed anonymous. And then they all moved away, buried their kids there, supposedly, I guess, is what the story is. And then they moved away. They weren't from there. They didn't grow up there. So it'll be really interesting to kind of see who's involved. I mean, these are kinds of questions I'm asking.
North Dakota. Everybody
always assumes that everybody is homegrown and they'll all talk. And if something's weird, something's going to come out. Not always.
Nope.
So answer to that question. Anyways, be faithful, be fearless. See you here tomorrow. Hi, everybody. This is Kate. Hey, go to preparewithkate.com. Right now, you can get some food storage in your home, and you can get such a savings on it. You can get a 3-month supply with $150 off, or you can get a 4-day supply for $297. There's some great deals right now, and the best part is you can actually pay over time, but get it in your house right now. So I'm really letting you guys know, preparewithkate.com. It puts you right into Patriot Supply. They're a fantastic company with fantastic products. And I urge you to go ahead and get some food now as prices are going to be doubling and scarcity is going to be happening. So please get some food under your roof. Preparewithkate.com. Thanks, guys.